My own grandparents fled communist Russia in 1925 in hope of finding a new life in a new land. Though the last of my grandparents passed away almost two decades ago, I will always remember the spirit of thankfulness that permeated their conversations and their prayers. No family gathering, especially at Thanksgiving, would have been complete without my grandfather saying in his wonderful German accent, "Wonderful," and "Danke," meaning thank you, at least a dozen times. And every meal at these extended family gatherings not only included prayers of gratitude, but it also always included the singing of the song, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Ancient Israel also had special times of celebration and singing, including songs that recalled the history of God's goodness to them. Psalm 65, that we're going to be looking at this morning. I invite you to turn to that. Psalm 65 is actually the first of four psalms dominated by the theme of praise. Indeed, the opening verse of Psalm 65 begins with an image of great anticipation. Praise itself is seen to be perched silently in eager expectation in the temple, waiting for the moment when God's praises are unleashed by his people as they fulfill their vows and promises by thanking and praising God, who is addressed in verse 2 as "you who answer prayer." Let us read Psalm 65. "Praise awaits you, our God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of praise. You care for the earth and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing." This festive psalm has three sections, each taking grateful delight in the various roles God plays in our lives. Verses 1 to 4, praise God as the Redeemer in his holy temple. Verses 5 to 8, praise God as Creator establishing order out of chaos. Verses 9 to 13, praise God for his gardener-like role as provider. Together, these sections lead us into a rich trilogy of praise, or I like to think of it as a symphony usually has several movements, and this is like a great symphony with three movements. And along the way, we are encouraged to count our blessings one by one and to join in the symphony of praise and thanksgiving. And so we're going to explore these three movements for a few minutes, and then I want to give opportunity for you to express your own thanksgiving publicly as well. So, beginning with God of grace and just a couple of the things that are highlighted. Verse 1, as I said, begins with this image of anticipation and expectation. Verse 2, because it's time to keep the vows and promises. When we prayed for help, when we prayed for God's healing, when we prayed for deliverance, and God came through. And verse 2 is a celebration of the promise keeper who is by nature. And this celebration is also by nature both appealing and inviting. You see, public praise and thanksgiving is how God's reputation and fame happen. That's how it spreads. And in verse 3, The image there is of one of the things to praise God for. The image is of being absolutely overwhelmed by sin. It's the words used for being totally overtaken by an enemy or covered by floodwaters. And God instead, kind of a play on words, is you'd God covered over is the word that's used. That is, he forgave our sins, our rebellion. And the temple was the place where God provided for this forgiveness. The cleansing from sin, where the people were decontaminated, we might say, where they were purged, where they were de-sinned. And all of this pointed forward to Jesus, who came pointing ahead to the one who was the ultimate temple and in whom true and lasting forgiveness of sins is available. And verse 4 points to the results of forgiveness. The result of forgiveness is a restoration of a close family relationship with God. It says, you bring us near to live in your courts. It's a homecoming. And you enjoy the rich hospitality because we are filled with the good things in the house of the Lord. And because the way that it worked with fellowship offerings is that you would bring an offering of thanks to God. And fellowship offerings, as opposed to burnt offerings, were shared. A burnt offering was for covering of sins. Everything was given to God. But in fellowship offering, it was divided up. And as people were sharing in this offering of thanksgiving to God, you would tell the story of how God answered your prayer or why you had brought it. And so as people were literally feasting on this sacrifice, they would also be feasting not only physically but spiritually as they heard the story of what it is that God had done. The next section is the God of might, the creator, establishing and maintaining order. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. The implication is of deliverance, because God is immediately called God, our Savior. And his awesome righteous deeds are known because you answer us. These are clearly the marks of deliverance. These are the awesome, kind of the same words, the awesome deeds that Jesus was known for in his miracles in the New Testament. And you are the hope of all the earth. It's the extremities, the farthest seas. There is breadth of vision here. Though God answers us, his arms are open wide to all of the whole world, which is illustrated most dramatically once again in the New Testament in Jesus. And we look at the breadth of people that Jesus welcomed into the family of God. And it talks about God forming the mountains and stilling the seas. You know, when we witness amazing works, when we see a great painting, when we see fine craftsmanship, when we hear great music, we want to know who did that, right? And we naturally look to the one who created or crafted or designed it to kind of express our gratitude and praise. Anyone recognize this person? She was in the news this week. Donna Strickland. She won the Nobel Prize for Physics, a big honor for a Canadian. What was very interesting that until about an hour and a half, after this announcement was made, if you went to look up Donna Strickland on Wikipedia, you could not find her. And that is because someone had tried to put her name up there earlier and to write an article on her for her contributions. And a Wikipedia user who attempted to create a profile for her back just in March of this year was denied by a moderator who said, "This submission's references do not show that the subject qualifies for a Wikipedia article." And I thought, isn't that interesting? Isn't that a lot what takes place of how our secularized world refuses to recognize all of the handiwork of God around us and to give him the respect and honor that it deserves? I thought it's the greatest insult when God isn't recognized for the amazing work that he does. The psalmist says it should be calling forth songs of praise from the whole earth. And finally, a God of abundance as provider. In the movement of the psalm, it says, you care for the earth. It's the counterpart to you answer prayer in verse 2. And you answer us with deliverance. It's just kind of spelling out these things that God is to be praised for. And in verses 9 to 13, the focus is on water and the abundance of well-watered land. And we need to only look in our own province here. I remember what my lawn was looking like back in July and August. And in fact, the whole landscape around here seemed to be burnt and crisp, right? And then all of these waters come and the rains come. And it just gets greener and greener and greener again. It says, you care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The evidence of God's care for the land, laden as it was with the banquet-like abundance, is evident of the Lord having cared for, literally having visited the land. It was visible and tangible. And I remember growing up on the prairies, one of my favorite times of, well, my favorite time of the year was always spring, but there was something that you could only see in spring and then again in fall, and that is when all the flocks of birds would come through. In this case, this is swans. And I remember especially the one year on the fields. The fields were just, I had never seen so many swans. I mean, millions of swans. And just as far, almost as far as the eye could see. And then when they would all take off, just everything would shake from them flapping their wings. Or maybe some of you have seen the salmon run. I hope someday to go see the Adams Salmon River Run. There's a picture from that. But we have these glimpses of absolute abundance. And I was thinking back earlier in the year, I preached a sermon from Romans 8 where it speaks about creation groaning. And it's longing for the day when God's people, when the children of God are liberated and freed back to their original purpose so that they steward the earth. So that the earth is able to fulfill the purpose for which God made it. And it's pictured here in metaphor that the earth here, when it is able to give this kind of abundance and plenty, that it is singing and shouting to God in praise because it is doing, able to do what God designed it to be able to do. And that is a great blessing, is it not? And there is great groaning when it is not able to happen. When people who want employment are not able to do work, find work, or because of illness or injury are not able to do it, there is groaning. And there is great celebration when they are able to do it again. Well, this is my walkthrough on the psalm, kind of